Every single.
Ready.
Alright.
Okay, today we have Jeremy Johnson from Melandra Group, and he's going to talk to us about waterproofing and a whole lot of other things. So, Jeremy, why don't you go ahead and start? Tell us who you are.
Alright, my name is Jeremy Johnston. I'm with Melandra Group. I've been with Melandra Group for starting my 8th year. Since we basically started as a small company, I was primarily the first employee brought in by our founder, Matt Molander. And I've worked with him, you know, every step of the way for the last 7-8 years. I'm building to where we are at this point. We do consider ourselves one of the leading waterproofing companies in the Houston area. We kind of pride ourselves on the attention to detail, the sense of urgency, dedicating ourselves to the customer's needs and their desires, you know, trying to achieve functionality primarily and then cosmetically give them the look that they desire. Sometimes it is a little bit of a challenge to achieve both, but you know, primarily we want to make sure at the end of the day that we're leaving a project that we can feel good about, that we're not going to have any water issues. So we've kind of adapted our own techniques and designs for flashings, for flashing details that some other companies don't use. So they, you know, over the course of us 7-8 years, we have torn apart enough failed jobs from, you know, done by others and trying to rebuild them for the customer client that we take note of the defects that we're seeing on every job and try to put that into our everyday production as when we're going out and doing the waterproofing on new homes and existing homes.
Can you give us some examples for the novice of what waterproofing is all about and
waterproofing
what you do for new homes and existing homes?
Waterproofing, in my opinion, the first key to a successful waterproofing job is diverting all the water off the house.
Yes.
The least amount of water that you leave on the structure, the least amount of chance you're going to have for a waterproofing issue or a leak issue. So we have primarily only worked with Westcoat, that is a manufacturer of the product that we use, and we believe firmly in their product. It is the integrity of it, the application of it, we've had huge successes with. Primarily, if there is an issue, it is, you know, all on the installer error, which, you know, does happen occasionally, but we try to take as many precautions on that end as well, is that we probably are one of the few waterproofing companies that while the job is in production, before it even goes in production, we have inspection processes. While the crews are working on site, a QC will be out there monitoring their work, making sure that the specs and the requirements for the product are met. And then after the job is 100% complete, we also come back and do another final inspection on the project.
So are you doing the waterproofing on the roof and the windows and the doors, or how are you doing?
We're fully capable of doing head flashings and, you know, any kind of window door flashings that are needed. Primarily the waterproofing system Westcoat is applied on, it can be applied on a flat roof. Primarily it's on balconies or terraces. We do mechanical decks with it as well. It's an alternative to TPO roofing. And TPO is primarily for flat structures, but there can be problematic when you cover up a TPO system. This system allows every layer to bond directly to the previous layer, so there's no chance for moisture to get trapped in between.
And TPO is what?
TPO is a flat line, or like a rubber membrane roof that's rolled down and overlapped.
Okay.
It's, you know, like I said, it's made for roofing and for flat roofs, but it's not made for walkable surfaces. So our product is a nice alternative because it can be used for walkable surfaces and, you know, basically.
So it's not a rubberized membrane.
No, it's a concrete, a symmetry.
So it's a concrete, cementous, almost like it's not a liquid applied flashing either. It's a cementous product.
Yes, we apply a polymer to it, which is, you know, WP81 modifier, and it's mixed in with the concrete. The mixing ratios are very important. Like I said, there's other companies that do similar systems and even use the same system. The modifier is very expensive, so some people try to dilute the modifier down to stretch it. And that's where it comes into having supervision on site, making sure that the product's being used properly, because when it is mixed to the manufacturer's specs, we're able to give a 10-year warranty on the product, which is pretty outstanding and leading in the industry.
So you're mainly talking about low sloped roofs, you know, if it's a lower than a 3-12 pitch?
Correct.
So then basically you just have your plywood.
Correct.
And, you know, how heavy is the product?
2.2 pounds per square foot, and that's with the decorative coating put on top of it at the final. So it's a nice alternative to tile. It doesn't put any stress on the structure. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's the nice part about it as well is you're not covering it up with another application. So if there ever is an issue with the waterproofing, it's visual, it's there, it's mm-hmm. easy to determine what the cause of the problem is, and you're not having to be so evasive by tearing apart part of the structure to look at it.
Exactly, I know. And there's actually a lot of options, color options and design options.
Correct.
That's what I like about it.
Correct. As a standard, we offer about 12 different colors. We have 4 different designs, and then, of course, we can always customize it for any, you know, if a homeowner or a client wanted to bring in a piece of tile and they said, this is absolutely kind of what I wanted up there, we're able to go in and with a little bit of, you know, playing around in the warehouse with the colors and everything, we can almost match it exactly.
And what kind of a skill set is required to do this? Do you have to hire people and train them and certify them?
Yes, there is. Fortunately, we kind of try to get ex-roofers, ones that want to get off the top of a house. you know, by the time they hit a certain age, normally they're not one to climb up there and walk around on these higher pitches. So we want somebody that's familiar with flashings, familiar with the step flashings and, you know, the proper installation. But, you know, we have taken in other people that just wanted to learn this system. And typically we team them up with one of our experienced installers for roughly 2 to 3 months. They'll be their helper and basically learn the system from start to finish with one of the, you know, what we consider the expert installers. Most of our installers have been with us for multiple years. I mean, I have 3 guys right now that have been with us for 8 years.
Wow, and that's impressive.
Yeah. And so we don't have a high turnover rate with our installers. We treat them fairly. We pay them what we feel that they're worth, where they feel value. And that way, because, I mean, the whole name of the game is you want to work that working relationship with your installers so you know that they're going to take care of you out on the job site as well. You want everybody to treat it like it's their own house at the end of the day.
So do you mainly target customers that are individual houses or...
I would say at this point, majority of our business structures is builders. On the residential side of things, yes, we do work directly with homeowners that have already purchased a home or are going in to purchase a home, and there's some things that have been, you know, noted in the inspection reports upon closing. We'll work directly with them. But as, you know, a split of our business, I would say probably 90% of our business is working directly with the builders from new construction, and then the other 10% would be, you know, with one-off homeowners.
Are you getting a lot of some of your leads as well from other consultants in the industry, such as a guy named Toner or exterior specialists up in the Woodlands?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I have a few inspectors that, you know, will only recommend us. They go out and look at jobs, and we do get a lot of leads like that. And then, of course, the ones that we work with, these homeowners, well, they end up going up on their neighborhood webpage and putting up, you know, posts and comments about our company, and then therefore other neighbors in the neighborhood will call us for future issues that they might be having.
No, I agree. You guys are the best in Houston. And luckily, I mean, it rains a lot in Houston, so you're always going to get a lot of business.
Yeah. we live in a good region, but I think waterproofing is going to be a necessity here for a while.
And the quality the quality of construction in Houston is actually pretty poor. There's a lot of issues, a lot of trades that don't know what they're doing. And like when you guys come in, you know, our framer, he'll come and frame a balcony. And even if he's off only by like a quarter of an inch, you guys will point it out and be like, nope, you need to increase the slope on that.
Yeah, we frustrate quite a few people.
Yeah. No, it's good. And that's what we want.
Yeah, we're very particular about our specs. Because not only at the end of the day, I mean, most builders, they carry a 1 or 2 year warranty on their home. We're carrying a 10 year warranty.
So
we're gonna get the phone call at a later date. So that's why it's so important to us. I mean, and it's all about reputation. You know, you don't, with as many homes as we touch a year at this, last year we probably did roughly 3,200 balconies in Houston. There's a huge liability that comes with that. And especially when you're driving up and down the street, you see scaffolding set up on every other, you know, block, where they're tearing apart the stucco off the front of the house. And, you know, most of the time it started at a flashing done poorly that allowed the water to get back behind the stucco. So
stucco is one of your biggest exterior facades that you go back for, not siding, not stone.
Yeah, stucco is very problematic here in Houston. We have such a moist climate for when stucco is not done properly, it will show up pretty quickly.
Yep.
So how did you two guys meet?
Matt. So we were, of course, I worked at Southland Homes before this.
Yes.
And I guess we brought you in on some basements that we were doing. Mm-hmm. And I think you're using a product called Zypex.
Yep, we use that was for the interior side, and then we'll use a Melroll on the outside.
Yep. So. Probably, yeah. So then, ever since then, and then now that I've gone off on my own, we're using them on our balconies and things like that. So,
yeah, Matt basically was kind enough to take me under his wing and teach me everything. The guy is pretty much a waterproofing guru.
He really is.
Yeah, he had a long history with roofing. He worked for Brinkman for 15 years, I think. And as he was doing all these roofs, he saw a niche for balconies to be done correctly and basically started researching it. Found the West Coast guys in California, really liked their product. Mm-hmm. And then he started putting his own specs, his flashing details. And we actually go up and beyond the call of what the manufacturer specs for. We kind of take it to the next degree with our flashings and with the base sheet that we apply over the entire floor before we start. So you know, Matt really he knew what he was talking about and knew what he was doing, and he had the background that, you know, I'm fortunate that he taught me. We had 7 years to work together. So
and you got to see a lot of issues, and you, now you know how to correct the
correct
thing.
Correct.
And so where is Matt now?
Matt has moved his family to Austin. Years ago he had bought a house over in Austin, and we were traveling back and forth. He has decided to put his full focus over in the Austin and Dallas markets now. So he moved back over there and basically left me here to run the Houston.
Which is a massive market.
Yeah, yeah. But Dallas is gaining so much steam that I would honestly say probably in the next 3 or 4 years, Dallas will probably be as big as Houston for the company.
Wow.
So.
Well, that's impressive.
Yeah. So we've had a good journey of learning, you know, the do's and don'ts.
Okay, so where do you stand now, and where are you headed?
Well, right now, we want to build on what we've already established. We want to get more of an imprint in the commercial side of things, and more of the decorative options. Like I said, waterproofing will always be our backbone, but you know, there's restorations are probably going to eventually, I see restoration work overdoing what we're doing on the new construction side, just because there has been so many homes done in the last 10 years in Houston. I mean, the inner loop went from basically one-story houses to four-story townhomes, you know, in the last 10 years. Unfortunately, we weren't able to waterproof them all. So we're, you know, we do get quite a bit of restoration work back from that. But, you know, we would like to continue to be the leading name in waterproofing and residential, and get an imprint in commercial, which we've started working on a partnership with Alliance Commercial. And we're in the process of bidding some of their multifamily projects that are coming up.
Very nice.
So.
And any other areas in commercial, or any other areas you're looking to get involved with?
Not at the moment. You know, we would kind of keep it as controlled chaos at this point. Let's get ourselves into a new market. Let's get good at it. you know, get all the procedures and safety nets put up in place to where we can be efficient and good at what we do, and then we'll work on to move on to the next venture. Instead of trying to do everything at once, sometimes things get a little sloppy that way.
They do. When you grow too fast.
Yep.
So can you give us an example of one unique job that you did so that anybody listening to this would get a really clear idea of, you know, something very specific, a particular house that...
We did one almost about 6 months ago. That was a pretty unique project up on Lake Conroe. And it was about a 1,300 square foot balcony that wrapped around the backside of the house. And it was all constructed out of steel. And on
did you say 13?
1,300 square foot 1,300 balcony.
1,300 square
foot. Yeah, so it was a pretty large balcony that went across the backside of the lake. And with it being all steel beams and the windows sitting at ground level, we truly, it was a custom flashing nightmare. But but we were able to we took the, basically had to remove the whole balcony off the back of the house other than the beams, and they had never put any weep screeds in the bottom. So literally when we opened up this balcony, we found, I want to say we ended up pumping about 700 or 800 gallons out of the cavity of the balcony.
Oh my wow. God.
Yeah, and the guy was wondering, he's like, man, I keep on getting all these stains, these rust stains coming down the backside of my house.
How old was the house?
Roughly about 8 years. And they had had another company come in 4 years ago and re-waterproof it. Basically they created just a sealed container to hold water when it was all said and done. So the project took about 6 to 7 weeks to complete from start to finish. But not to mention that it had maybe about 105 feet of aluminum custom railings on it that we had to chop all up and take off of there and then crane it down and crane it back up. I mean, it was a pretty massive project. That was a unique one. The Versante project that I spoke about earlier, that was kind of a unique one because we didn't really know what we were getting into until we started opening up the first couple balconies. And this was actually a lawsuit that had been filed against the builder from the HOA. The HOA won, obviously, for improper building practices. But when we started tearing off the floors and the front fascia, literally a couple of the balconies almost just crumbled. The decking was actually holding the balconies together. So we ended up going back. It was about an eight month long project to redo all. It was 97 balconies total. But we basically had to reframe it, get the engineers out there, re-cantilever the joists back into the homes. So it was a pretty massive project. And that one I was pretty proud of. And unfortunately, not all the residents were on the lawsuit. So actually, yesterday I got a call from one of the other residents out there, and we're back out there bidding a couple more units. So we can get everything fixed. But,
at least you know how to handle that one, so you don't have to
investigate. Yeah, I told the guy last night when it showed up, I said, oh, man, I already got all the takeoffs for this. I mean, I'm just basically here to introduce myself to you.
Yep.
We know what to do.
So do you, in those cases, do you do all the work yourself? From first checking it out and all the way through?
Yes.
Deciding what to do, tearing everything down, fixing it, putting it all back again. You do all that work yourself, or do you have other partners that you work with?
We offer full turnkey services. That was one of the main things I wanted to accomplish with the restoration department, was to where they could call one contractor, we could handle it from start to finish. You don't have scheduling mishaps that way where one company is not available when the other company needs them out there to try to join up on the project. But we do work well with others too. So always give the homeowner the option. If you have somebody that you know that you want to bring in to do the stucco or any portion of the project, just let me know and we'll basically a la carte the bid. We'll put on there what you want us to do, and we'll just work around the others.
So basically, anytime a homeowner or a builder has a leak, you come in and fix it. So are you guys also doing roof leaks, such as, I know those clay tile roofs are, I always see them playing golf, I see people repairing those constantly.
Yes.
So you guys are repairing those as well?
Yes, we'll do, and basically you can call us saying I have a leak, we'll schedule an inspection. We'll come out there and do a visual inspection. If there's something not blatantly obvious, then we'll schedule a water test, and we'll come out there and actually water test the home until we can get to find the leak and determine exactly where it is. At that time, we would offer, you know, a proposal to do the work, and we basically go from there. So
very nice. Yeah.
So do you have a lot of competitors in this business, or?
There are a few. You know, there's, and price point is key with builders. So we've had a few builders leave us, go find some, they installed the same product. But once again, I think what separates us from everybody else is our attention to detail, our sense of urgency that we want to take care of the client. And that, you know, we're not just going to cover up anything. I have since had 99% of those builders that left us call us back and basically say, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, the extra money was probably worth that. Yep.
So Brett knew what he was doing from the beginning.
Yeah, I won't mention any names, but I had quite a large builder here in Houston that left us for, they only left us for one project because the superintendent found us quite difficult to work with, and he was able to get his main office to let that neighborhood of 150 townhomes be done by another company. I've spent probably the last 4 months over there pulling all the doors, redoing door pans, re-sloping the balconies.
Oh my god!
Yeah, and they're hundreds of thousands of dollars into the warranty process now, and their main office said, yeah, never again.
So. Wow!
Thanks, Mr. Superintendent.
That's a nice compliment, though. Yes. A backhanded sort of.
So I'm guessing that superintendent is not there anymore.
He had some seniority. He's been there for a while, but we've made friends again.
Good.
That's
a good thing.
We're respectful to each other.
Very nice.
So.
One of the things that Brent and I talk about all the time is collaboration and the importance of collaboration and, you know, not burning the bridges and, you know, making enemies. And
absolutely.
And, I mean, you're working with our trades as well. I mean, you're going and talking to our framer, our roofer, you know.
And actually, everyone. We have other trades that, you know, they'll be out framing for another builder. They give our name and this vice versa. I mean, we have a pretty good network of trades around town that when we see other work for them and we know they do good work, we recommend them.
That's the way it should be.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, as far as collaboration, I have a saying in the office that I have posted on literally everybody's door is CCF. That's communicate, clarify, and follow up.
That's right.
It's very important. If it all starts with communication. And that's what's separate. What I try to instill in everybody is please do the communication. It might not always be what they want to hear. But if you don't communicate it with them, then it only grows. It only grows to more frustration. So,
without a doubt. And that's one of the things that I think, you know, when Brent and I were first talking about this, talking to all the subcontractors and, you know, allowing them the opportunity to be able to talk about their business and, you know, and making that available to potential clients and other subcontractors as well. It's all about the collaboration. It's all about sharing. It's all about being open about what you do. And in that way, people can share that with people that are potential clients for the future. Or, you know, let's just say potential clients.
Well, it saves us time as well, so that if we're about to bring you guys on, the homeowners can go and listen to the interview.
Yes.
They can go and get all their questions answered on their process and trust you. They trust us, as well as, you know, other builders that are going to follow this and listen to it. And they're going to, you know, other potential clients. You know, everybody's going to listen to it and, you know, learn.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the important thing is, I think, building is always an evolving process. You never really stop learning. There's days that I come across details of new designs on houses and everything, and, you know, it kind of makes you sit back and scratch your head for a minute, and we will actually sometimes we'll build the mock of what we're seeing out in the field in the warehouse and then waterproof it a couple different ways.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
And then sit it outside, put in the elements for a while and check on it.
So I've got a question. How important is it for the rain screen?
Of course,
rain screens for the, you know, the delta vents behind the stucco so that the house... breathes.
It's mandatory.
You know, the craziest thing is nobody's doing it in Houston. Yeah. Maybe only a 5%, maybe 10%. I was going
to say, and especially anywhere that you have a beam running down at the bottom, you know, that's the one I see commonly missed. We just finished up one over in the Heights the other day, and the stucco basically just came down the wall, wrapped right back in. The return, it was only about a 2 or 3 foot soffit back to the front door, but there was no way for the water to drain, so it all came down, yep. And then it just obliterated the beam at the bottom, yep, of the house. Mm-hmm. And caused, I mean, just thousands of dollars.
So that's called the drainage provision with, yep, stucco. So basically, yep, you're supposed to, when it comes down the wall, you have to see a gap at the bottom of, yep, stucco when it, before it wraps up underneath the beam.
Yep.
So yep, that's what he's talking about there. But you have to have that rain screen behind there so that the house can breathe. And you need it on brick. You need it on stucco siding. Just so that whenever the water does, the water's going to get behind the exterior cladding.
Yeah, there's no way around it. It happens with every exterior cladding that you use.
Exactly. And what you need to do is get that water out, because you don't want that water to sit on the exterior sheathing, whether you have Zip or Tyvek or whatever, right? You're still going to have the penetration, so you need that water to get out.
Yeah. It's the same principle when we're doing your basements by putting the J-drain up, exactly, against the wall. There, we know there's going to be moisture there. There's no way to stop that, but you leave it a channel to drain and get to the bottom.
Yes, so when we do our basements, we definitely want to protect it from the outside. We have the underground drains going to a manhole, which pumps it up to ground level and out to the streets. But there's those are just a few little tips out of a lot of issues that can potentially happen with water penetrating inside your house. So
yeah, inspectors are getting better, that's for sure. I mean, they've seen enough of the problems, though, because I mean, all these were not standard building practices 5 years ago. And, you know, they should have been.
It should be. We're in a hot and humid, yeah, climate.
And there's some builders that are ahead of the curve that have been doing this for a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, actually, I went and looked at a house the other day, right over there off Memorial. And it was, the homeowner was telling me it was built in the 70s. And he's like, I've never had to redo the stucco on this house. And I just kind of looked at him and was like, you're kidding me. It looks like it's in pretty good shape. Well, I started going around. Whoever did the job back in the 70s, they had the weep screeds at all the joints at the bottom. Oh. And I said, wow, those guys were way ahead of their time.
Especially, you know, from the 70s.
Yeah. Well, yeah. He said it was built by a high-powered attorney that had built the house back in the 70s there. And
what part of town?
It's over there on Scotland.
Where's that?
Scotland. When you're looking out the guy's backyard, you can actually see, was it Allen Parkway?
Okay.
Right. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that runs down there. Yeah,
inner city loop.
Yeah. But it was a really unique design and everything. And of course, it was another one of those all steel beam homes. But
it's great.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. All steel beam. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, building science. It's, yeah, important.
Yep. Yeah.
What do you think about the liquid applied flashing?
Or
fluid applied? Or
yeah, I mean,
around the windows?
I've seen it spec'd. There's a lot of, I've never personally used it. So we've always done the old fashioned way, tape it, mm-hmm, with the flashing, pull the Tyvek over, make sure that everything's layered properly.
Mm-hmm.
Alliance had, you know, when we first started bidding this museum project, they're building down the museum district, they were going to go in with a liquid applied everywhere, and they've since changed it. So, yeah. So I don't know if that was because they were having issues on other projects with it. We didn't get, you know, into that conversation.
Got it. Mm-hmm.
But they told me this, but they sent me over the revised plans with all the new specs.
Very nice.
So
what kind of technology changes are you seeing? One of the things that you mentioned was people get to pick their colors and choices of, I guess, what's going on the surface of the balcony, mm-hmm, right?
The decorative coating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's,
you know, that's a big deal because you're looking at that all the time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's what everybody sees. You know, yeah. They don't know what's underneath there, you know. But it's, you know, I guess the fortunate thing about Westcoat is the system is really good. And they came out with it in the early 80s. I think 81 was the year they introduced it. And it was typically all used out in California. It took to about the probably the early 2000s for it to get here to Texas before they tried to push this far across the U.S.
That does not shock me at all.
Yeah. Mm. So, you know, so
they, we've talked about that before.
Yeah, everything's up.
Everything starts in California, yeah.
So, well, yeah, especially with all the environmental requirements and everything, all the products that you can, you know, that's one thing I do like about buying most of my products from the manufacturers in California, even though the restrictions or the regulations aren't as heavy here. I know whatever product I'm using is going to, you know, meet or beat spec anywhere.
Yeah, so, exactly.
So that's a nice little bonus. But they haven't really modified or changed their solid contents in with the modifier or anything, because, I mean, it was tested. They began testing this product in the, I believe, 66 or 67 with Life Paint. Paul, who is the owner of Westco, he was a chemist with Life Paint before, so they had developed a system. Life Paint has a very similar system, but they haven't quite made it to Texas. They for some reason never really got out of California. But so the product hasn't really changed, you know. But I guess the creativity of what we can accomplish with the, because everything is done by hand. You know, I have a few of my installers that, you know, Jose Rodriguez is one that's been with me for 8 years, and he's able to actually manipulate the concrete by hand with the trowels and the tools to make it look like wood.
Oh my
with
goodness.
Wood grain, with knots and everything.
Oh my goodness.
So it's almost like each is his own artist when they're doing these decorative coatings. So obviously the ones that have done thousands and thousands of these balconies and flat work, you know, they were the ones I'd want on my house.
Yeah. We need to know their name now. Yeah. What was his name again?
we can always get somebody available. It might be a little scheduling conflict, but we can always schedule accordingly. So
tell us a little bit about yourself. Are you from Houston?
I am from Houston. I was born and raised in the Woodlands, actually. My family's been out there since 79. And I left Houston for a little bit just to go to school. I went to Stephen F. Austin, and but I've always come back home to Houston. And in my first life here in Houston, I was actually in the restaurant business. I owned a restaurant operated out in the Woodlands.
Oh.
And I did that for roughly 15 years. And
what kind of restaurant?
It was basically like a little bar and grill. We called it CJ's Gourmet Junk Food.
Oh.
So, but we did burgers and, you know, steaks, and did daily hot lunch plate specials.
How fun!
Yeah, it was fun. The hours. By the time my second kid was born, my son, that it got to the point where it's like, all right, I think I need to go find something else to do.
Because
my hours literally were from 8 o'clock in the morning. I'd get to the restaurant. We'd close at midnight. By the time we got closing out and everything, and it's a 7-day-a-week business, there was very few days off that we decided to sell the restaurant. And actually, I met Matt Molander through one of my customers.
Oh,
that used to
cool.
Come in the restaurant. So, you know, I told him, I don't know what I want to do when I grow up. You know, and they're like, no, you need to go talk to Matt. You know, he's looking for somebody. And he happened to be my neighbor that lived across the street from me. He was actually a builder too, a custom builder out in Bender's Landing. And I was talking to him one night. I said, yeah, this guy told me to go talk to Matt Mullen. He goes, well, I'm using him on my house out there. So I went and introduced myself, and the rest of it's history. You know, this,
cool.
I learned a new trait with different hours. Now I get to get up at, you know, when I was getting home at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Now I'm getting up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, but I'm off work at night.
So. That's right. How many kids do you have?
I have 4 kids.
4? Wow. Yes.
So I
have
what are
their ages?
Yeah, I have a 22-year-old son that's actually working with me at the company now.
Oh, cool.
So I'm kind of training him. We call him a junior QC. Mm-hmm. So it'll be a year or two before he's actually out overseeing jobs by himself. But he's kind of, hey, I need my eyes and ears on something over here. Go take a look at it. When we get there, let's talk about it. So he's been with me for about 6 months now at the company. And then I have a 17-year-old son that is getting ready to graduate from Oak Ridge High School. And we don't know if he'll be either. He's applying for UT, Southwestern, and Rice. So
wow.
We're going to see
smart guy.
Yeah, he's he got the brains. He got it from his mom. And then I have an 11-year-old son, Brady, and he's my little knucklehead. And then I finally got a girl on the last one. I got a 3-year-old named Avery.
Great. Oh, cool.
So she's my little sweet pea.
That one
keeps me young.
Oh, that's great. Well, I think that's about it for us, Brent. Do you have anything you want to...
If you guys want to go check out some more interviews, you can go to our website at www.texasmb.com or check us out on Instagram, follow our stories on what we're doing out in the field, and like all of our pages and Facebook as well.
Anything you want to add?
No, appreciate y'all's time, and if there's any other future projects or anything that I can help anybody out with, just please, you know where to contact me. Scheduling at molandergroup.com, and I can always be reached directly on my phone, 832-977-0850.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Thank you all.
Bye.